Like some fancy little rolls you got there?
Oh, I seen them sitting there.
Did you make that? Is that sushi?
Yeah, Wendy made them in her spare time.
No, she didn't. I saw her at lunch.
She wasn't doing that. We saw her.
She's eating Mexican food.
There's a kid from, it's a freshman from Peter in my ward that's in there.
Oh, is it? He's playing for them?
No, he wasn't playing for them. He's smacking the crap out of the ball.
Is he hitting good?
He's hitting really well.
Yeah, what's his name?
Keaton.
Yeah, that's right.
I just need to be clear right now. Are you all in the same box?
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking sports.
Right now, we're in the same box.
We've gone right there.
It's very long stuck. From one box
because
to another.
He made it sound like there was this whole process of closing the box and opening another box.
Yeah, but it
and
can be done.
Like, that was almost instantaneous.
It can be
like,
done really quick.
The same box.
It depends on what the topic is.
That's right.
When you start talking about sports, right. I mean, that's
it's
easy.
Like,
you know, right where that shelf is.
We have one button that shuts all boxes when we go to sports. It's all shut. And our biggest box is the sports box.
The sports box is big enough for all your friends, but only boys.
That's right.
Yeah, we have a sports box. It's the biggest box.
Well, we'll get started when we get it clear here.
We can get started and go through.
We just can't approve the minutes. Or
well, yeah, we'll just have to skip down and go through.
Your report, we could go
through my report.
Is that all right?
Yeah, and so any other things that we don't need to vote on,
all
we
right.
can go through that.
Let's get started then. The chairman, Brent Hunter, is going to be a little bit late, so maybe and Cole, I'll take over for a little bit tonight, and hopefully we get a couple more board members here to where we can discuss some stuff. But to start it out, welcome out in the audience for coming tonight, and we'll have time down in our agenda if you want to say some words down in there a little bit. We'll give you a chance to say what you need to. First of all, I've asked Paul to do the pledge and Justin to do the pledge.
Repeat the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father, which art in heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity we have to gather here and in this meeting for the opportunity to discuss an important matter of water in our community. We are grateful for the blessings of the rain that we've had to date. We ask you to bless us more moisture that we might have plentiful for our community's needs and for the farmers' needs in the valley. We ask you to bless us that we might be able to understand the water issues of this evening, that we'd be able to make decisions that are appropriate, that are correct, and that are long-term, and that we might be able to have the foresight to do those things that are best for our children and our grandchildren and those that follow after us. We are so grateful for all that we have, the blessing of this community, the good people who live here, and we say things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, next would be declaration of abstentions and conflicts of interest by board members. And you're good, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're good. We can't do number three, which is considered approval of minutes for the board meeting, financial report. Can't pay the bills, so we can come down to the review of the 2016 financial Paul.
Okay. So that will be under
number
the,
two.
Yeah, the finances there be in your budget area, and there's really not a lot of significant changes there. And we can go through some of those the expenses when we go through that, but in general, from last month, everything is in line and under budget at this point. Unless there are any questions, that's all that I have on the budget. So I had a chance to review that. If you have any questions, I can answer those.
Okay. What I'd like to do now is at 7 o'clock on our agenda, we got Mr. Johnson, the candidate for the governor of the state of Utah, just arrived, and we'd just like to move him up, and I'll turn that time over to Paul to introduce him. And
sure.
Hey, Spence.
Good Yeah, I asked Jonathan, he was going to be in town today, and I said, hey, why don't you come by our water board meeting and introduce, it's not a big group, but he attended our home builders meeting this afternoon, and it was great to have him here. I've gotten to know Jonathan over the last couple of months and grown to really appreciate his views and stances on different things. And as mentioned, he is running for governor, and it's a race. We recently had our state convention, state Republican Party convention, where 4,000 delegates, state delegates met. And I was privileged to be one of those elected by our precincts, our peers and neighbors, and to represent those precincts in the state. And Jonathan won that contest by 10% of the vote. And the delegates were very impressed, and I think you will be too. And want him to just take a few minutes and introduce himself, and hopefully you guys can get to know him. And he is the chairman of the board of Overstock.com, and they will do about $2 billion in sales this year, employ about 2,000 people in the state of Utah. Father of five, him and his wife Courtney have raised those five sons. They've got a great family, and he's a real leader. He's a businessman, not a politician. And with that, I'll just turn the time over to Jonathan.
When Paul invited me to the water board meeting, I didn't know if that was waterboarding or a water board meeting. And I've, as running for office, I've been to both kind of meetings. I just want you to know that. At least some of them have felt like waterboarding meetings. Paul, thank you for that kind introduction. I should have you go out and market Overstock. You do a great job there. I'm running for governor, and every time I say that, it sounds as audacious as the first time I thought it, because I've never run for anything other than county delegate and state delegate and precinct chair, but I didn't run for sixth grade class president or anything in between. But one thing I've learned in helping to build Overstock from a small startup Utah-based company to something that's much more substantial is the quality of people that I hire into the organization really determines the quality of the organization that we build. And I believe that the quality of leaders that we hire or elect determines the quality of government that we get. And I am, to be honest with you, not a big fan of career politicians. I think the longer people stay in office, the more concerned they become with remaining in office, and the less concerned they become with doing what's right by the people. And so, you know, 5 years ago, I had several people approach me and say, Jonathan, you ought to think about running for governor. And at that point, the governor was finishing his first term and running for a second. And I said, you know, the time's not right for me, and it's different. 2 summers ago, when he announced that he would run for a third term, I thought, okay, 8 years is enough. It's enough for our presidents. It's enough for 36 governors, 36 states, unlike Utah, have term limits on their governor. I intend to bring business principles to government. I know that they don't match one-to-one, but I'll tell you 2 principles that are important to me. One is summarized in something Ronald Reagan said. He'd been the president for just over a year when he spoke to a state legislature and said, the federal government operates under the arrogant assumption that states can't manage their own affairs. If that was true 3 decades ago, I think it's glaringly more evident today as we have federal overreach again and again. And frankly, even as a state, we invite federal overreach when we look for federal funding for so many things. My goal is to pull power away from Washington to the extent we can. The second president I like to quote, and it gives you a sense of my governing principles, is Jefferson. He said, the government that governs closest to the people serves the people best. That's why city councils and local water districts are better than state government and federal government. I sure like local school districts more than I like the state school district, more than I like the Department of Education. And I don't want you quoting me on liking the Department of Education. It's just a comparison scale. But that's who I am. I have a website that if you want to learn more about me, I don't want to take a lot of your time that you're generously giving. My website is HireJJ. Hire because I'm asking you to hire the next leader. And you're either going to rehire Gary or you're going to hire JJ. And JJ because you can't misspell it. That's the website, and it's pretty substantive, a lot of detail, videos and policy. Because I'm not a politician, I wanted people to know what they were signing up for if they vote for me. So thank you for your time. I appreciate your letting me come, and I'd answer questions, but I also don't want to hijack your meeting.
No, I think we're all right. If somebody's got a question on the board or in the audience, give you a little time right here. We don't have a problem with that.
I appreciate it.
Anybody on the board want to ask questions?
I'll tell you, nothing's off limits.
Putting you on the spot, how about Doug?
Yeah, since this is the Water Conservancy District,
yeah,
I'd like to know a little bit about what you think our position is as far as water and where we sit in the state of Utah.
Yeah, so I figured I might get a water question coming to the water board. Thank you, Doug, for not disappointing. The population in Utah is projected to double in the next few decades, and I think we should plan for that. The snowpack in Utah is not projected to double, and so there are two things we need to do better. One, we need to conserve, and two, we need to capture and use our water better. Conserving, I think, is best done through market forces. I don't know about this water district, but I know many water districts in the state subsidize water with two kinds of taxes. One is property tax, which makes some sense, although there are a lot of heavy water users that pay no property tax. Cities, the state, churches pay no property tax and are pretty heavy water users. Many districts are also subsidizing water with sales tax. And when I go back to Economics 101 in college and try not to break out in hives from my memory of that class, anytime we subsidize something, people will buy more of it than they otherwise would because it's cheaper than it naturally should be. I think if we're not subsidizing water to that great extent, people will conserve via market forces, and we won't have to do draconian things like some states in the West, like California, do. It says you can only water your lawn on X day or Y day. So I think we have to conserve, but I would not want to do it in draconian ways. I'd want to do it market forces. When I think about capturing water, that's tricky because it's expensive to build water infrastructure. And we have to find ways to do it. I do look at what we do with the water going out of Lake Powell from the Colorado River. The state sends more water downstream, downstate, than we're contractually obligated to. I know Nevada does the same out of Lake Mead, except Nevada sells their water. Utah doesn't. If we're going to try and fund expensive projects, we ought to find a way to do it not just on the Utah taxpayer or users' back, but some of those downriver water users where we're giving our water away. So, Doug, did I answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much. There's a proposal floating around right now for St. George down south of here for a pipeline out of Lake Powell that's projected to cost $2 billion.
And yeah.
Since right now, only those folks down there are being expected to pay for it.
Well, if we're going to build infrastructure that's used for a discrete set of the population, that makes sense to me. If it's used for a larger group, then a larger group ought to pay for it. I frankly, and as I've talked to Ron Thompson, he's probably
general manager down in Washington County.
He's you in Washington County. By the way, he's like out of central casting for a desert water man. He's like right out of central casting, isn't he? You know, and he's the one that says we ought to be working on market prices because if we're conserving water, the need to build an expensive pipeline, we don't know the need because water is so cheap and it's overused. So I think conservation first through market forces, and then we can decide whether we need to build.
Yeah, this body had a presentation Monday on the cost of water in Iron County. And part of that showed that, as you grow, the economic benefits don't just impact that particular location, but due to income tax and that sort of thing, they impact the state overall.
No question.
So if those local entities are contributing to the state's economic growth, Don't you think the state has some obligation to help with that infrastructure?
The state has to play an infrastructure, just like we build roads, and we pick and choose which roads we build first. The state should be helping on that infrastructure. So it shouldn't be borne wholly by the local community. But look, infrastructure is a state thing. And if we don't build proper infrastructure, whether it was building I-15 decades ago or the railroad, which was largely privately built, but still infrastructure, if we don't build those things, we will be passed by and we won't be able to keep up with the growth, and it's going to be real difficult. So thank you.
Any other questions?
If I could.
Kelly?
Yeah, just this board looks a lot at really long-term projects. Mm-hmm. Our task is to be out 50 years looking into the future, and every morning we wake up and it's another 50 years that we have to think about. But that gives us a pretty long window to look at what the future looks like, and we use as many good projections as we can, and we talk about those regularly. But the challenge we have is long-term sustained growth in this area, you know, according to all the projections that we have, is going to continue.
You bet. I mean, why wouldn't it? It's such a lovely part of the state.
It is. I mean, many wonderful things here, reasons why people move here, and it will continue to grow, similar to Washington County, but a little bit slower pace. But the impact on the group that is here now, as we look out 50 years, we're currently running in a deficit of our water supply for our particular valley. As the state looks at that in a long-term basis, what are your views on how to take care of those long-term needs for population bases that even if we charge current cost of water, we're still not going to be able to capitalize that up front? We would need some kind of funding mechanism in order to finance that. We don't expect to get free water, but it would be nice to be able to finance that and look long-term. Are there ways that you feel like the legislature could appropriate money for those types of projects that would be paid back?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And boy, we need leaders that, like you, are looking 50 years into the future. And I'm frustrated that today we seem to focus so much on what today's report card looks like. Look, I'm glad today's report card's relatively good and there's some A's on there. I think there's some C's and D's on there too. My goal is to look into the future and see how Utah can do better, how we can improve. You know, 4 years from now, I'd like to be off the Common Core. I'd like to have more local control. You know, 8 years from now, I'd like to, instead of growing our reliance on the federal government from 20% of our budget to 30% of our budget, I'd like to arrest that and start stepping it back. We can't turn that fire hose of funding off immediately. It just wouldn't work. You know, as far as water projects, those kind of huge capital expenditures are just the kind of things we have to be looking at. And just like we benefited from foresight from the original pioneers through today, we've had leaders who've had great foresight. We have to do that. And, you know, thankfully, the state has a AAA bond rating that we can take advantage of, and that the state can help back and local districts do things better. So I think there are ways the legislature can do that. I also think, you know, using some of the CIB money for things other than just a new ball field or another daycare center, but to be building infrastructure that lets businesses come, that will grow the community, grow the tax base, that can pay for the new ball field and the new daycare center. Those are appropriate ways to spend CIB money, I think, too. That answer your question?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a question we could spend a lot of time on.
Well, we spend at least one day a month.
Okay, well, got
regularly here.
But thank you. I mean, it's, you know, look, that's something the state has to be involved in. And, you know, if you looked at my calendar for the last 18 months and you look to see where I've been, I have spent, my campaign manager will say, I've spent an inordinate amount of time in rural Utah. The voters are on the Wasatch Front. I get Salt Lake. I've raised my family there. I've built a business there. I understand how it works. Part of what I needed to do if I'm going to be the governor for the state of Utah, not the governor for the Wasatch Front, was to spend more time in the Uinta Basin, here, Cache Valley, you know, around the state, down in Four Corners area. I've spent a lot of time in meetings where there have been two or three people that have come up, for shown up for a town hall meeting. But I tell you, by going to Hurricane and Helper and Hooper and Hiram, literally and figuratively 4-H towns, I've got a better sense of what I didn't know and how I can be a governor for the state of Utah. So that's what I'm focused on. Thank you for having me. This is my wife, Courtney. Come.
Raucous crowd. So I was just going to say, one of the great things about my husband is that he loves to learn. And he is not too proud or set in his ways. So if you're hearing him and you think, oh, that's great, Johnson, but you don't know this, he is all about learning this. And he loves feedback. And he will always say, I am not going to be the smartest person on the room on every issue. I'm going to go to the person who's the smartest person on that issue and get informed. And from there, he'll work to collaborate and analyze and solve problems. So, the end. Thank you.
Thanks, Courtney.
Thanks for having us. I really appreciate it. Shoot, yeah.
Utah or BYU?
I always give my answers whether everyone in the room nods their head or shakes their head. I got 2 degrees from BYU, so I bleed blue. I'll have to admit that.
You're on the right side, just
for I know it's going to be tough, but I got to give the same answer I give all the time. So anyway.
SUU wasn't even brought up.
I know. What? I mean, really?
I've met with President Wyatt probably 3 or 4 times since I've started this. I think SUU, and I've guest lectured at SUU probably 6 times. I think this is a jewel here. And frankly, I think one of the things that frustrates me as I look about higher ed funding is that we fund based on enrollment and not graduation. UVU has the highest enrollment and the lowest graduation rate.
We have the highest
graduation. SUU has the lowest enrollment and the highest graduation rate. To me, that'd be like saying I'm paying my marketing folks to bring people to come visit the Overstock.com site, not to come buy off the Overstock.com site. We want to get people finishing, and so I think we can fund better. But I guess I'll have to finish. Go Thunderbirds. No.
Thank you. There you go.
Thank you, too.
We've got a town hall meeting at the library, so we're going to walk out. But thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for indulging me.
All right. We
did offer Herbert.
I was just going to say, yeah. Mandy offered Governor Gary Herbert to come down as well, and that invitation is out there just so that we were proper in inviting both parties, but appreciate the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, thank you. Okay, we'll continue on. We still don't have a quorum here, so we'll continue down. Paul, I think we did the financial. If you go into your general manager report.
Yeah, so
hold it number 5 right there.
Okay. I appreciate everyone who was able to attend that the economics report that we had on Monday through our economist, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I think it was a really good report. I think that it shows, you know, it's interesting to hear him talk and talk to him over the last couple months. And he and his team could not grasp that we were in a deficit, that we were in a running deficit. And so multiple conversations on the phone, I talked to him and said, what piece are we missing? There's something we're missing here. And so finally, you know, after a couple times of explaining what was going on in the checking account, you know, they finally grasped that we're in a running deficit. The water levels continue to decline. And that came out in his presentation, obviously, that, you know, he's been doing this for over 20 years and has worked for many of worked with many water entities and districts. And this was some of the worst area that he's ever seen. So that wasn't a very comforting thought. I know that there are other valleys, obviously, throughout the entire United States that have declining aquifers, but this is
a project where he's worked on where it's a running deficit but we have some projects and opportunities that are there coming and I think that he was able to shed some good light on that. So thanks for taking time out of your busy schedules and being there, excluding Rick.
I'll take the hit, but I've heard him a couple of other times.
Yeah, you have.
That guy talks faster, and he don't ever take a breath. You heard him the other day.
He covers a lot in a short amount of time.
He don't take too many breaths. And
so that's basically what we have in the public affairs portion. There's one other thing I did wanted to bring up right here is this rule, or not a rule, but this report that the EPA and the USGS has recently put out. We've got an opportunity to comment on that. Justin and I have been talking about it a little bit today. But I just wanted to read this, kind of a synopsis of what one of the attorneys has forwarded on to us through Washington County, and I think that we resonate very similar to that. But let's see. So the EPA's draft report is disheartening in so many levels. First, the EPA's draft report is the first step in significantly expanding the federal power over the individual states. Management of water quality, water rights, and water use has always been and remained completely within the purview of the state without any interference from the federal government. Utah, along with Wyoming's constitution, like the constitutions of most western states, provides that water of all natural streams, springs, lakes, and other collections are the property of the state. Even in eastern states, where water rights are based upon riparian uses, water rights and uses are governed by state law. The EPA draft report is the first step in advocating federal oversight of an individual state's ownership of water quantity. Second, the courts have time and again recognized that a water right is properly granted by the state is a private property right. Even the right to use water in a riparian system is a private property right. And while the EPA will argue that these new requirements are not prohibiting the use of water, given the state or federal government, the ability to grant a permit under the Clean Water Act is giving them the ability to condition the permit to meet some state or federal numeric standards simply based on water quantity. Additionally, giving the state or federal agency the ability to require a permit is giving them a chance to deny a permit. So as Justin and I have talked to this, we think that it's very important that we do respond. I'm not going to read any further, but basically, for those of you that don't know, this report that they're putting out is they're trying to use the Clean Water Act to regulate quantity of water, not just quality. And, you know, maybe we thought this could possibly be coming down the pipeline at some point. Well, here it is. And I don't know if it's ironic the time that it's appeared as Paul sent some information over to
Senator Lee,
his respondent, didn't seem too surprised when he responded to me, the timing of things that come out towards the end of the current president's term. So there is a couple of draft reports that I've got from Washington County today that we'll work on, but I think that the board is in agreement that we should probably move forward and respond to that. And we'll probably just follow the coattails of Washington County and see what theirs looks like, can maybe modify it from that. So, a lot of head nodding.
I thought this, Bud Fallon, I know these guys up here, I've worked with them on several levels. I've worked with them from a rancher's level and some others, but I thought the letter was written fairly well. I also went in and read most of your environmentalist letters. The vast majority of the comments are all environmentalists right now. And the problem with the environmentalist letters, in my mind, is they target one certain thing. One letter's for the mullis. One letter's for another animal. So what happens is you get all these guys that are focusing on this one animal. We're going to preserve this. So we're going to do this global rule that could impact tremendous amount. I mean, where this law is headed, from my reading of it, I didn't read the whole law, or I'd still be reading it in the next 4 or 5 months. But my reading of it is that there would be no end. Once they got their toehold there, there's no end to the control that they can exercise over the state, especially in the western United States where we're so limited in water. If they're able to control the quantity of water, and every time you're going to affect the quantity of water in something that they have to get a permit in, Lake Powell would be a prime example. You wouldn't be able to make a single application on Lake Powell without going through the federal government. We wouldn't be able to bring the water from out of the West Desert without going through the federal government and showing that the lowering of that aquifer doesn't affect some plant species or something out there. I mean, it just, this would be give so much control, it just would never stop. If this ball gets hit, I spent about 2 hours on it this morning just reading the environmentalist letters and going, so we're going to save a mollusk. We're going to take a sledgehammer to pound a fly. And in the end, you completely trash the car with the sledgehammer. I mean, everybody ought to be responding. I mean, this needs to get out to every state level agency. Every state needs to oppose this. I saw on a different matter where the state of New Jersey had opposed a letter coming from the New Jersey office. This is one of those things that should come from the governor's office. And if Herbert's too blind to see that, then he shouldn't be a governor.
Well, it was interesting. I had it forwarded on me from Washington County, and then I got a hold of Paul. And Paul sent it on to Senator Lee, and his respondent responded back to me and said they hadn't even heard of it. So,
They did respond to you?
Yeah. Yeah, they said they hadn't heard of it yet. So they've got it.
But I think we better, I don't know, maybe we ought to do our part, but maybe Paul ought to spend a day, not that I can throw away his time, but just spend a day simply calling every conservation district in the state of Utah, Division of Water Rights, you know, get to the top and make sure that everyone responds to this, because in my mind, looking at this thing, I'm glad we got it, because if we hadn't, It could alter everything we know about water.
And how did we get this?
Washington County?
Washington County Conservancy District.
Bud Fallon got it. These guys, this law firm up in Montana.
Wyoming.
I don't know if you've heard, but have you ever heard of Bud Fallon? I mean, some of you have. That's what they mostly do, is fight against the federal government on overreaching. And most of the time it's for forest. And I'm co-counsel with Brandon Jensen right now on the Sorensen case for the mountain against the Forest Service. And so we talk, and we've had some meetings. We brought him down and had some meetings with the Forest Service.
It was good to see that gentleman in Wyoming win against the EPA on that lawn. That was huge.
Yeah.
The scary part is that's why this presidential election is so critical. We could see 2 or 3, 4 Supreme Court justices selected, and even one very liberal environmental
swings
type.
The entire nature of this community.
Oh, it's a balanced court, and it's a big deal. It's scary.
I've noticed, I can tell you this, what I've noticed is, having for my first time dealt with the Forest Service on this deal, I am shocked at how retaliatory the federal government is when you oppose them. They have retaliated left and right. They're willing to bite their own rules. They're willing to violate other people's rights. They don't care. It's about payback now.
Just an example of that. We had a little thing, a couple of springs that were washed out back in 83 on Forest Service property. They got washed out in 83. The state hospital owns the water rights. And we went to reinstate those springs. We've been working on it for 2.5 years with the Forest Service, and we've got another year worth of work just to get it approved to go redevelop those springs that were existing springs. It's just ludicrous the amount of paperwork that we have to go through. And something like this could just turn it even to a next level with EPA.
Well, and Justin, you're right. I mean, over in San Juan County, this has been probably 8 years ago, but there were two guys that, I mean, Recapture Canyon, this was well before this whole blow-up, but there was a dangerous spot in that trail, and two guys went up there in their picks and shovels and did a service project on a Saturday and fixed the trail so it wasn't so dangerous. Environmentalist group, the Grand Old Broads, found out about it, took pictures and turned them in, and they were fined $35,000 each. Had to mortgage their homes to pay the fines, and it's just, it's unbelievable. And they did nothing, you know.
They were trying to be a good neighbor.
Trying to do a good thing, yeah. You know, and it's...
I'm done doing good things, you know.
Spooky.
No good deed goes unpunished, so I'm doing anything bad.
You know,
Justin. All right, if we can move on, if there's any more said, but
one thing
ahead.
I just want to say is I think what Justin said about Paul, I think, and I don't think we necessarily need a motion or whatever like that, but just because there's no legislative thing going on, but I think the time that you could spend to, you know, discuss this further, I think it needs to happen. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the comment period is only about 20 days away.
17th of June.
17th of June.
Yeah. I don't want to spend a week on it.
I've got a meeting down with Ron on Tuesday, and I'll just touch base with him there, see how far they've spread it, and take some time there.
But one thing that might be good is just, you know, some of these agencies don't move real quick. So, I mean, one thing that might be helpful is maybe even just pulling together the AG's office and maybe a few of the agencies and have a meeting right there so that it's not something that, you know, talk to these agencies and then they...
Yeah. Well, I put in a call to John Mabey today, didn't get a hold of him, but John Mabey used to be the attorney for the state of Utah for about 20 years. Mm-hmm. And to ask him if he would be interested in putting out a feeler to stop this thing, to help.
I shared it with Sean Draney, and his firm hadn't heard of it. So
we ought to.
And it came out March 1st.
This is just way overreach.
So what did Senator Lee's office have to say? They just said they hadn't heard of it, they'll look into it? Because that's what Mike told me the night I texted him. He said, we'll look into it.
Yeah.
Did you text him directly? Or? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I assume this president's doing it right now because everybody's trying to run for re-election, and everybody's busy and their heads turned the other direction.
Time to fly things under the radar.
Radar.
Scary.
You looking up that, Paul?
I was going to look that up. Probably going to go past it because I'm trying to find it.
Dallin Jensen might be a good one, too.
Yeah.
Justin.
Who?
Dallin Jensen, yeah.
I'll put that call in.
Well, if you find it, we'll kind of move on. If you find it, then we'll go from there. Did you have anything on the operations side, or did you?
I do, yeah. Let me touch it. Oh, there it is.
Okay.
Sorry. I did scroll over it.
I don't know if the church
says thank you, Paul.
But that's a good idea. I'll get a hold of Warren Peterson.
They're really throwing the kitchen sink at us on the way out. This is the first I have heard about this issue, but I cannot believe the EPA is claiming that requiring the acquisition of a 401c CWA permit as a precondition to using a water right has no substantial effect on a user's ability to use that water right.
What I think is the best way to do is for the AGs to come together, like, you know, multi-state, you know, kind of thing. I mean, that's really, I think that's going to be the best route to go, quite frankly.
I don't know if Sean Reyes will talk to me, but he got more pull than I do. I know that Anne Marie Allen's good friends with him, but.
I mean, John's got an in because he was an assistant AG, but I mean, that's been a few years ago.
You can call Paul, do this. Alan Crooks is his right-hand man.
Reyes?
Yeah, and he's real accessible. His number is 862-1962. I'd contact him first, and he'll you know, you can get
all
of
that. Crooks or Cooks?
Crooks.
Crooks.
It's a good name for
an attorney.
Yeah, we've probably got a few remarks on that.
I bet as an attorney he's got a few remarks on that one.
Yeah, man. All right, Paul, give us operations.
Okay.
Sorry, to go back to this. I mean, if there's any way that you could maybe just kind of communicate out to us as the progress is happening.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's a bigger issue than anything we've dealt with as a district, so.
This would have ramifications to our district forever.
We'd never get any water.
Yeah.
Has there been any press coverage?
No.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
It was hard to find the report through a Google search for sure, so.
Slap your hands.
You wanted the newspapers interested, in the ramifications of that. Certainly helped spread interest.
Yeah.
What is the title of the article or the?
It's the docket, you can go on the EPA website and you find in their docket number EPA-HQ-OW-2015-0335.
That's in the Federal Register.
That's on the docket ID for the EPA Federal Register, and it's called Report on Protecting Aquatic Life from Effects of Hydrologic Alteration.
Here's a mouthful.
Yeah, protecting aquatic life from the effects of hydrologic alteration.
That's something there, huh?
Is there any aquatic life down 6?
So, and obviously within the report, they claim that, it's just a permit, but yet attached to it, there's a legal section to where they can enforce it by law. But in the report, they say, well, it's just, it's a permit, these guys have commented, they've said, well, permits you to do or not to do, so.
The minute there's a permit issue or mentioned, then you're in trouble right off the bat.
Right.
Sure it works. It's been not too funny.
Well, and there's a lot of times, I'll shut up after this, but there's a lot of times that you don't have to win the permit. You just have to delay them long enough to where they go somewhere else, and they give up. This hospital thing.
Yeah.
2.5 years. I mean, how long before people just say, it's an acre foot of water, it's not worth it? And they won.
And most do that.
Yeah.
Time exhausts it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a private person, right?
Do you know what the cost of the Sorensen's fighting against the Forest Service is now?
Right, 600.
$1.3 million is what they've cost him. And there isn't a farmer over there that could afford that except the Sorensen's. Yep. And the only reason Sorensen can afford it is because the money's not coming from the ranch.
Yeah.
$1.3 million is what they've cost them.
Is that within a year, about?
No, it's over the last 6 years. And all the things that they did to them, when you look at the reduced grazing, reducing their numbers down, it's cost them about 100 cows a year.
Mm-hmm.
So 100 cows a year?
Yeah, $1,000 a head.
$100,000 a year. Doesn't take long to get to a million. But I'll bet they're into expert witnesses and everything, $300,000 now.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I was asking. It was a lawsuit, wasn't it? When did they file?
It's an appeal. We appealed it up. We took it all the way to the top person in Utah, and we won on the appeal at the top. They reversed their decision. And now they've retaliated against them 3 times since then in the last year. They wouldn't give us the right to go on the land, but our permit says you have to put the cows on by a certain date, but then they wouldn't give us an AOI meeting or the building to do it. So as soon as we put them on, according to our permit, they then gave us a notice of non-compliance because we hadn't complied, but they hadn't held the AOI. They kept delaying the AOI meeting, and they wouldn't send us a bill to put them on. But if we had put them on, we'd got a notice of non-compliance because we didn't put them on.
Because you didn't do it.
Yeah.
You can't win. Yeah.
Catch 22.
Yeah.
All right, move on, Paul.
Keep
this moving.
I handed this out, this little handout, the colorful chart. I'll explain that real quick. The line on the top is the well level at Three Peaks, our big million-gallon tank. And then the lines down below there are just when the well and the booster comes on. And so you can see there the tank was filling 2 times a day. And you can see within the last couple days, where that flat lines, that's where we got all the kinks out of this Eagle Valley well where we put in that booster station, and we're just pumping in that lower zone. So now it's been Yeah, it's been steady, and we're not having to pump up to that higher elevation. We're just pumping at elevation down there. So I think that's going to be a great benefit, and you can see the trend there just in the last couple of days of what's been happening. So, and it's not because it rained, because it hasn't rained the past couple of days. So there's a couple other things. Also, to keep on the subject of the booster, since switching out the new booster at the mine, we've saved $1,500 a month. And so that's
that's great.
That's great. That booster was $10,500 to put in, and it won't be long before we pay that off in those savings. So we're excited about that. Let's see. We went out. Within Derby, also there's some very large heaters that were put in, and as those are going out, we're replacing those with more efficient ones. They pull about as much as a well did. They're these huge. In fact, the fan itself, to replace the fan when the fan went out, we went and looked, and it was $600 to replace the motor within this fan. And so we've just replaced them with some more efficient heaters. They had like seven of them in one of our well houses. So some of the things that one of the previous operators, Ray Ross, he really liked some nice things, but we're a little bit more based on efficiency. So our guys have been busy. They found all of the valves throughout the water system, specifically in Fifetown, where there's a lot of dirt roads and everything. We're going to be spending some more time collaring those, bringing them up to grade, and then cementing those. We're going to also cement all those up in Cedar Highlands this year as well. So we plan on doing that when we bring our summer help on. They had to go down about 3 inches down to Check Shawnee. They chip sealed over the top of all the valves. So they had to chip down 3 inches in all the valves, and they've raised those back up. And
Are most of those valves, are they out in the actual graded area of the road, or just in the, is there any of them that are off on the shoulder at all?
Some of them are off the shoulder. A lot of times, most of them are right within the road. So Check Shawnee, that's kind of how they would put in down there. So depends on subdivider.
The only reason why I bring that up is just like, say for example, Cedar Highlands, you might consider if they are off the road and you collar them, but maybe putting like a fiberglass whip up or something like that just for snow removal and you know, things like that.
Yeah. So we had those that's what we did with everything in Duck Creek. We had those fiberglass whips. Spent a lot of days drilling those on. After every winter, half of them would be broke off. So that's all I have on operations.
All right. Any questions from board on operations? Good. Okay, next we'll go with public comment, and we'll hold that to 2 minutes. So I know we got some public out there. If anybody wants to get up and spend a little time, it's your turn. Turn on the mic.
No, are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, I'm
all right. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you. Don't want to take too much time. Get to the mic. Do I have to go to the mic? Probably speak without it. I'm David Brown. I work with a consulting firm, environmental consulting firm, called SWCA, and we are strictly an environmental firm. Primarily do NEPA work. We actually did the Coal Creek EIS several years ago when that flood came through there. Do a lot of resource work, a lot of water quality work. We got an office up in Salt Lake City. Offices were pretty big firm company countrywide, but doing a lot more work down here in Cedar and St. George. And so we kind of have a campaign where we're trying to introduce ourselves to some of the districts around the state, and so people know who we are. We really have done some of the projects we've done around here. We were involved in that Sigurd Red Butte, that big transmission line, and a lot of projects in the area historically for a long time. So we know the resources around here, know kind of some of the issues. And as you guys were talking about some of these issues with the, with the federal agencies, that's kind of what we really specialize in, I think, is being strategic and helping people kind of at the front end of their projects really think strategically about, okay, we've been here before. We do this. It's our business. We've been doing it for 30 years. You know, what? How are you guys want to go about doing this so you're not going to spend a gazillion dollars getting just to go? And I think that's really important for some of the projects that you have going. And I know this is somewhat of a commentary, but as much as it riles you, it's really important to develop good relationships, personal relationships with your local agency folks. That's paramount because they're members of your community and oftentimes they share those same interests. So I think I understand that you guys have already reached an agreement and we're working with Transcon. And I certainly don't want to interfere with any kind of relationship that you guys have going with them. We've worked with them quite a bit. They do great work. And I think that's an excellent choice to have a local-based firm here helping you. I think what we're in it, you know, I'm probably more than likely going to be talking to Jeff and talking to Tim shortly and seeing if there's some complementary role that we can maybe help you guys with or, you know, maybe not. But we do have an appreciation for Transcon. I think they do a lot of good work, and we're interested in just kind of introducing ourselves to y'all. And we do specialize in some of the stickier projects in the state. You might have heard about the Alton Coal EIS. We're doing that, and that's a tough one. That's a painful one because it's been taken forever. And at the same time, though, we are seeing progress on that. So you should hopefully be seeing something before the end of the year, finally, on stuff like that. So that's kind of our specialty. And you had asked before Utah or BYU, and I'm an Aggie. So
you know what? That's a good point.
And the Aggies have been looking tough recently. Just want to say. So it's not just about if there is ever, you know, a year to be proud about being an Aggie, it's the last few years. Because it was painful when I went there, I got to say.
What's his face is sticking with the NFL. Vigil stuck it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
His credit.
Anyway, so thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
You know where our office is. Have you been to our office? Or
I did, yeah. I just swung by to
just keep in touch with Paul. And,
yeah. Yep. And, you know, like I said, you know, we're real complimentary of Transcon, but, you know, I'm all about free consulting and helping people get their projects through. And like, so that's something that I kind of have a passion for. This Sigurd line, I was brought in at the very, very beginning of that and was happy to see it all the way from, you know, initial feasibility studies all the way through construction. And I think it's really important to think about the big picture from start to finish. And generally our tagline is sound science, creative solutions. And you guys were talking about the recharge stuff. Our founder, SWCA stands for Stephen W. Crothers. It's no, like, everyone gets it confused with something else, like Southwest Consulting or something. It's just a guy's name. But he had a real interesting project where something similar like this came up, and it was working for kind of a mining company, and there was an issue that, you know, he was able to argue that with the natural flow, he could just kind of shave the peak more or less and not affect the ecology, which is what one of the things that we run into all the time. And it's kind of a good thing and a bad thing, but I wouldn't say that we're and you don't need to write that down, but I wouldn't say we're adversarial, but we know our science. And right now there's big rule about eagles going on out there, and we work with our clients to really confront agencies who say, like, we have one wind farm where they suggested that it would take about 200 eagles a year. And that's kind of a bad example because it's such easy pickings. But what we do is we help our clients, like, establish, like, that's not sound science, right? And so we can go back and work with the agencies, try to develop kind of a good relationship with them, and then come to a more reasonable solution. And I think with the sage-grouse issues that you guys have around here, this is kind of that's something that you guys are going to struggle with. Just try to stay positive as much as you can because they don't really know what to do yet. But anything in sage grouse, I think, you know, some folks, as I read some of your meeting minutes, You know, some of your projects that are in sage grouse, if they're on sage grouse on BLM, it's not a listed species, right? It's not protected by the Endangered Species Act, but the BLM is going to have protections and mitigations in place that are designed to keep it off that list. So for all intents and purposes, it might have been a little bit cleaner if it was listed, because now you got to figure out something from scratch. So if you impact those birds or impact that habitat, you're chartering, it's new territory right now. And it's really important to kind of tiptoe through that, because they're figuring it out, and I'm not sure which, you know, it's hard to predict which way it's going to go. So anyway, thanks for...
Thank you.
If you have any questions, I'll stick around.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, David.
Thanks. Awesome. Thanks. Okay, number 8, aquifer recharge information on resources available for structures. Go ahead, Paul.
This was supposed to be by Tice Palmer. He's with the Utah Association of Conservation Districts, and Brent had got him to come, but he emailed me just a couple hours ago and said that he wasn't going to be able to make it. But to update you on that, everything is, what we've done is put together a cost estimate to put in the structures out towards Quitchapa, and the legislature put aside $500,000 for some of these conservation projects, and Tice contacted Brent, and he went before just a small panel, kind of a work meeting up in Salt Lake yesterday.
Who did?
This is Tice Palmer.
Okay.
Anyway, I presented it there. There's, it's like I said, $500,000, and there's a lot of projects out there. So statewide, I don't know if we'll see anything or not, but for our area, our region, it's number one on the list. So there's a possibility that we could get those structures paid for. Yeah.
Tice is a good guy. He lives in Beaver County.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a good guy. We've got the drawings and things ready to go on that structure, and as well as some other structures up the stream, as we were feeding this information to him, and that's there as well. On the other side, well, not on the other side, but staying in the same area, we talked last month about recharging on some of Glenn Brower's property, and we are going to dig that test hole next week, and then he's got to wait for his turn of water so that we can do a perk test on that area. And that's just an area where we can recharge structures that are all in, as we discussed last
So that's
last month.
That's a no-brainer. We can start that in.
Yeah, as long yeah, we'll just find out what kind of water it can take,
what it'll take,
and we can recharge there this winter. On the north end of the valley.
How many acres do you say he had? 300?
Yeah, it was quite a bit.
320 or something. Like
three, yeah, I think it's 320 acres. Yep.
So how he's got a big pond there. How big a pond are you
going to build? I mean, the perk test will tell us, but we could probably do it in, 5-10 acres would probably take quite a bit, I'd imagine. But we'll see with this perk test. Right now, when he can get it, he just puts it out on his grass and he waters it in the winter. Issue is getting it. There's the diversion. There's is just terrible, and Raymond Prestwich could tell you all about it and complain about it. But the county put that in when they redid the storm drain in 2005, and they put it in as the water comes along Westview Drive, and then it banks to the right before the university. They put the diversion right there. Right at the turn, and so all the trash as it's coming down the stream lodges up against the diversion, and so there's just, when I went out there a couple weeks ago, you know, there were, I mean, just logs and hundreds of tumbleweeds that are just pushed right up against there, so you can see why it doesn't work. But I guess, as I've talked to Glenn and Raymond, it's been on the county's docket to fix it for since 2008, but they just seem to talk about it. Anyway, it should still work in the winter. You know, it just may be a maintenance issue, or we have to clean it out, but it's something that the county has said they're going to fix, and maybe with this project we can also help add some pressure along with the irrigation company to get it fixed. Out to Enoch, everything is delivered, and we're just waiting on. When I called Billy Grimshaw, he just said when he was ready to go, we'd be ready to go. He seems like a pretty laid back guy, so I told him we'd be ready when he's ready.
I would call him once a week, will you?
Okay. Yeah, that's probably
we're
ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he needs to get that in before he finishes clearing the rest of his pivot, and I think he's been working on clearing that pivot.
It's all spring.
Is it all cleared? Well, he said when I called him last week, he said a couple weeks, so we'll see if he's ready next week or not.
So all the pipes there then for him.
Everything's ready to go. Yep. So we'll get that in when he's ready.
Okay.
That's all I have on recharge.
Okay, let's go to number 9 then, Aquifer Balance and Water Development Project District number 2.
Okay, so we went out and made a water dowser out of Curtis. He found water.
I'm a believer.
We took Dilworth Armstrong out and
Dilworth Witchin? Is he? Oh,
right. And we
got a new job now.
It was really interesting. So the first time I tried it, I guess I was holding it the wrong way. I did try it twice and it worked in the areas where we were looking, and it's an area where we wanted to be. We wanted to be quite a distance away from District Number 1, closer to Park West, and we're going to be right there, right where we want to be. There was a good. We found 3 stratas.
Curtis, you found some?
Dilworth found it first, and then I followed behind him. But I could feel it.
Get your can hair we, up on the back of your neck coming up. You know?
Can we just get this for the record that a PE believes in dowsing?
You should hear. You should. Kelly still doesn't believe.
We can look for 2 PEs that believe in dowsing.
Here's where I want to be on this. I told them where I wanted to find the water, and they found it. So I'm glad about that.
Now, we didn't say anything to Dilworth. He just walked. So.
A couple of sticks. So.
But I told him where I wanted to drill the well, and for some reason, that's where they landed. I'm really glad about that.
I can tell you, the first time I held it, there was nothing, but then I switched my hands the right way, and I was holding it, and the knots in the stick dug into my hands as it tried to turn and go down. So, I mean, it was... Call it what you want, but I mean, I was trying to hold it up as far as I could, and as it was twisting, it was digging in my hands, pulling that stick down. So
that's crazy.
Woo. It was pretty neat. Whether there's water or not, we've got the depths and everything, and we'll try and verify. But we've got our start card, and Grimshaw got the bid on that, and we've got them scheduled to start about the 1st of June, start drilling that well. So, let's see. Anything else, Curtis, on that?
No, I keep
on that well development.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I guess you can let them know we're going to move that doghouse, so there won't be any. I guess added infrastructure for the covering of that new wellhead.
Yeah, we've already got everything out there, and it move it. We'll be able to plumb it right into some existing infrastructure. We'll have to. How many feet is that?
I've got it right here.
150 feet, maybe a little bit more. Yeah, about 150 feet probably to the pipeline.
So are we going to abandon the other point diversions or just...
We're going to abandon...
additional POD.
I think we're going to seal off the other well and abandon it because it's contamination is what we had talked about previous.
Probably leave it as a monitoring well, but seal it up otherwise.
Okay, that all on that one? Okay, let's go to the monitoring. That's it, update and discussion, number 10.
There's nothing really substantially new from what we talked about last month, other than the question was asked and
we were going to see last month if we had a few more board members discuss this about paying an additional $700 to do a bench level equivalent and have Worth go out there and do the actual survey bench level of those originals to get that first base. Sorry, what did I say?
Worth.
Yeah, sorry.
Doug.
Yeah, Doug Grimshaw, wrong Grimshaw.
Too many Grimshaws.
Yeah. Get Doug to go out and get that bench line equivalent for those first initial, make sure, just because there's always that little bit of discrepancy in GIS of how many clouds are in the air and what day it is. And, you know, there's just so many variables that can happen as the world spins. So,
and I would say that's very worthwhile to get a solid benchmark that you can rely on. Not a surveyor, but from an engineering standpoint, you want that down to exact, and you can't do that with GPS.
That'd be $700 more.
$700 to do that, yeah. It's in the budget. It's available if we would want to do it. So
we can't vote on it, but
no,
we
but
okay.
We may want to wait. We might want to wait for more board members. I don't know. That's up to you guys to decide.
What is your feelings? It's in the budget. We haven't got a.
I think it's well worth it. It's showing we're getting some pretty good data out of that area now, right? Somewhat.
Well, he had set some 6 months ago, and then he read those along with ours for the first time, and within those that he had 6 months ago, they had dropped.
Like
half an inch. Yeah.
Uh-oh, there so. He comes now. We got enough now.
Now you can make a decision.
Looks like he's been working.
You haven't screwed up that new hip, have you, Brad?
Oh, yes.
Hello.
Sorry.
You made it. We're neck deep in it.
Well, good. I'll just sit here.
You want me to keep going?
You keep going, and I'll just sit here and watch.
Well, we're needing one more, so we got to back up a little bit and get a couple of things approved. Now we got a quorum. Okay. We'll come back to that, Paul, when we get down into there, and we'll
okay.
kind of talk just a minute on that while Brent's here.
Okay.
Okay, let's jump back up, and let's go to number three while we got a quorum here and consider approval of minutes for the board meeting held March 17, 2016. If I can get approve them, and then a second, we'll move on.
Move to approve the minutes, March 17th.
Okay, Paul approved. Move to approve the minutes. Can I get a second?
Second.
Spencer will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And then the financial report, number four, go back up to that. We need to approve the bills, payment of the bills and adjustments from April 16, 2016 through May 13, 2016. I can get a motion and a second on that. It would be good.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, we got a motion from Brent. Can I get a second?
Second.
And a second from Spencer on the approval of the payments of bills and stuff. Okay. And then that comes back down. I think we got everything done.
We got a motion and a second, Gavin.
Oh, keep me on track there. Right on. That's right. I did. Okay, we got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we're good. Thanks, Doug. Okay, we're back on that monitoring. Do you want to spend $700 or not to continue to go along with that with Doug Grimshaw? I guess that's the question.
It's a bench level equivalent.
You know, Paul, as far as how much more that we're looking at, as far as to
this year,
yeah, just per year to.
So, what we've put in is $5,000 a year, and under that line, let's see, in the budget, it is.
If I understand correctly, that would just be a one-time cost, though, for the correction.
That would be a one-time cost. Yeah, sorry. And then his annual cost would be per monument. So this year it was about $1,500. So, you know, about $2,000 there to subsistence monitoring. It was current year we've spent $1,900, got $5,000 budgeted. So it'd be.
Yeah, so do you anticipate if we approve this, and then what would need to continue to happen through the end of the year that would be within budget?
Because within the next part of the rest part of the remaining portion of the year in the fall, what we'll do when we kind of get off peak time with our operators is go and install additional monuments along the west side of the valley. And so it'll just be that construction cost. Last year it was, I think, under $1,000 to put in six.
And he does that.
We did that, yeah.
So you're roughly 2,600 now, and then say if we spend another 1,500 or something like that on monuments, we're still within budget.
Still within budget, yeah.
I'd say we do.
I think it's worth it. I think we're getting some good data on it, so yeah.
I was really surprised.
The board, you good, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just do it, Paul.
Okay.
On that, do we need to have a motion where it's allocated in the budget? Budget there, it's just administrative process, isn't it?
Just administrative. So. Yeah. Okay, got it. Okay, let's go to number 11. Wawa and Pine Valley update and discussion. Do we need to go in closed session, or do you want to go down farther?
Yeah, we will. We will. I think Kelly's got some update on some of the meetings he had with the BLM, and let's turn the time over to him.
Yeah, we had a great meeting with the BLM today. They got back to us. If you recall, we submitted, it's been about a month and a half, 2 months ago, the plan of development, which is the initial document that logs everything that we plan to do out in the West Desert. So that's the pipeline alignment, any options on that, alternative alignments were listed. What do we end up with? About 30-page document.
A little longer than that, probably, but yeah.
40-page document that summarizes. Sorry.
I was going to say how, as far as the alignments, was it more just kind of GIS grade, or was it more meets and bounds grade on the alignments?
We had to describe it all. Well, at this stage, we did it all GIS, so we didn't get into surveying the whole thing quite yet.
Okay.
That'll come. But
I just didn't know how.
Yeah, it was just GIS level alignment, but we've pretty much designated where we want to go, which roads we want to follow, how we're going to drive and crush on a lot of the sagebrush areas out in Pine Valley. It looks at the issues with sage grouse and delineates out where all those are, where the leks are, where the deer habitat is, and we got a little lucky. We're lucky that we have deer, antelope, sage grouse, pygmy bunnies, and prairie dogs all within our project. So we just wanted to get all of our bases covered, so we got them all.
Prairie dogs out there.
And yeah, there's prairie dogs. So we got all of them. We didn't want to miss any. So we got everything that we possibly could get around here, and we got them all. But
there's a few more.
Well, raptors. Sorry, we had raptors too. So anyhow, the BLM office here, as we've met with them regularly, we've created good relationships. As was discussed earlier, it's been very valuable to us to build those relationships, and you know, we've done a few different site visits in between the time we met last. We took quite a few of the BLM members out again. A new hydrologist that got there, we took him out, showed him some of the wells. He was very interested in the wells and is planning to actually continue to monitor the wells that the UGS is currently monitoring and get on a regular schedule so that he can keep an eye on where those are going in those valleys, and just a benefit to have more data for us also. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I have one thing to add when you're done.
So in this meeting today, we asked a lot of questions about their comments on the POD that they sent over. They clarified a lot of things, made sure that we understood on the timing on certain things. We've got about a six-year process we're going to be in on this, and this plan of development continues to evolve through that period of time, and at different stages they want more information and things like that. And so I think we've got most of the information that we need at this point, and we'll just continue to work with them and progress that along. And eventually, it turns into most of the information from that gets transferred into the EIS or the NEPA document to move forward with that process. That all gets hired on by the BLM. They will hire the consultant that will prepare that EIS, and they will hire them and direct them. We just get to pay for it. But that's
BLM in-house, or they hire it private?
They said they would hire this one out because of the size of it. They sometimes will do it in-house, but this time it'll be
engineering firm.
Yes. Yep. So, which could be, you know, SWCA or, sorry, SWCA or Transcon or any of those. There
are
options there. So,
just one of the things that, and I tried to explain to Paul, that you guys may want to consider, but they do, that's what's called a third party. So it's where you guys pay, but they're working for BLM. One of the arrangements we did with Transcon on a project before was a first party arrangement where they collected the data on the first party. Not the cleanest, but you know, it gives you some measure of control. Honestly, you know, this field office is really good, so I don't think it's that much of a concern, but sometimes they throw out the term third party, and that's what they're talking about, where you're essentially, you guys are footing the bill, but they're answering to the BLM. So BLM says, hey, you know, we need you guys to go out there and collect bunny data or something. You guys are kind of on the outside of that. So some applicants try to work it where they have a first party arrangement. So they would have a consulting firm that would kind of be under their direction, giving them device, and then that data that they collect would then feed into the EIS. And that gives you kind of a little bit more control, but it's also a little clunkier sometimes. But it's just something to consider, you know, different ways to skin the same cat.
Yeah. Okay. What's our risk of having employee movement change in this office? You sense that we're
turnover
with people that are positive, and if they change jobs, that we might have trouble down the road? That's always a risk, isn't it?
I think that's part of why I think Paul and I think that's why we push forward right now, because I think we do have a pretty favorable group there right now. The director is pretty conscientious. She's willing to show up to meetings and be involved. And the staff that they have overseeing it right now, this Michelle Campos is our immediate liaison. She's willing to meet any time. She's willing to go do site visits. She has a very good understanding of the need. And really has been a great facilitator. So I think the more we can get done, the sooner the better.
I think an initial benefit to that is how Transcon has kind of laid out the map, where we approached the state office first, made everyone aware there. We also have some former employees from down here who are in the state office who are well connected, and I don't think that turnover happens as much as at the regional offices. And so
let them watch you listen to that recording. The other day.
That's right. That's right. Two other things similar or with that as far as relations go. We got our approval for the SF-299, which was the approval for a right-of-way grant for our test wells, and we received that shortly after the board meeting last month. And that, just a reminder, that was when we had the meeting a year ago in our office with the BLM, and they agreed.
A year ago.
It was a year ago, yeah. That was a year ago. They told us they'd have it done in 3 months. But, hey, what it did is it saved us about $40,000. And so Mandy and Brent got together, and they wrote these thank you cards to each one of those players in that BLM office and sent that over. So,
hand-wrote.
She did. And wrote thank you cards. So anyway, I think we do have a good relationship there, and things are moving forward. On the funding side to do those test wells, the CIB meeting, they took our full minutes, and we talked about two different wells within those minutes. We had the public hearing for our test wells out at Pine and Wawa, or down out at Pine Valley,
and they took the minutes from our District 1 discussion and gave those to the board packet, and it was complete chaos at the board meeting and or at the meeting for funding. And they had these off-the-wall questions, and we had to keep on saying those are the wrong minutes, and they got frustrated, and they tabled it for the next month. So we're going to Monticello next month for the CIB meeting to hopefully not get kicked in the butt again as hard as we did last time. So
that's right before you fall off the edge of the earth.
Yeah, that's right back in your old neck of the woods.
You're going there tonight.
So anyway, we'll press forward on that and hopefully get that taken care of.
All right. So we're good there, and then we'll come back to a close session as we go. Okay, number 12. How about number 12?
We just had our a meeting again this morning with the Smart Utility Systems. They have the beta for the app. It looks really good. It looks really good. We should have had you there, Doug, but they're still working out a few kinks in it. And they showed us some of our customers and showed the trend lines of their comparable bills. They compare themselves to their last year, or they can also compare themselves to the district as a whole, so other customers. Anyway, there's that. There's the reporting part of it. There's also the conservation end of it. There's a lot of good benefits to it, and we're about 2 weeks out to have that available to the public. Is the deadline we've had, or the timeline that we've had there. We are now offering our water checks. We're going to do something a little bit different this year. We've got the data from all the entities, including ourselves, and identified the highest 10% of water users within those. And we're going to be contacting them to go and see if we can do an all-water audit at their house. So that's kind of the approach this year for water audits.
They gonna be offended or thankful?
No, I don't know.
I'm not one of them. Are.
I don't know. We'll let you know. I wouldn't let you know in a public meeting if you were.
Oh yeah. Take you right down right here.
Yeah. That might be a little
admission of guilt, whether it's on your list or not. I don't know.
Yeah. And then we're just getting ready also for the Water Festival, which we'll be doing again this year. So
when's that going off?
That is July 30th. July 30th.
You can just do kind of like last year, pretty yep. much the same deal. You can have hot dogs and stuff, so I'll get with you on that.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Fire truck there again.
We're going to have a fire truck there. That was a hit, man.
Yeah, that was the hit.
That was awesome. That was amazing. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
Every time that siren went off, all the kids went wild.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was. You had to get out of the road, or else you were gonna get ran over, stampede.
Okay.
So that's it on conservation.
Okay, let's go to 13 board members. Anybody on the board got something they'd like to bring up in the meeting right now, or wait? Got anything, Spence, Paul?
I'm sorry. Did Ty's Palmer didn't come, or did he?
He wasn't able to make it. He emailed me just before the meeting. So
did he have any information with him?
He's got to go through the process some more, but it's kind of at the top of the list for our area. So we'll see what we can get. There's a lot of other areas in the state. So
yeah.
Well, you got to be in the ball game, so maybe you might catch a fly once in a while.
We're in the game.
So I have one.
In the game, you can't hit a home run.
I have one comment. That video presentation was sobering the other day. And when will you get the presentation with the voice overlaid on it? Will that be soon?
So I just barely got it from them. There were they were really cautious in sending it over. They wanted to get with Sean Draney beforehand to see whether we wanted to share that or not, and Sean was very supportive of doing that, so I got it yesterday.
Oh, good. I think it's imperative we get that out to the public. The more people see that, the more buy-in we're going to have when we have to make some difficult decisions. And I think social media, you know, whatever, so people see that, because the slides are one thing, but to hear his audio with that would be.
So it's going to take some time to edit that to bring those two and marry those two together, and I'll do that.
Yep.
Yeah, after you hear it, you just wish everyone else
was
there. Did we not invite the media to that, or did they just
I did.
Really?
Yeah, they said they were going to be there, and then none of them showed
up. That's kind of a
so.
Bummer. Did you invite Tracy Sullivan?
Yeah, she said she was going to be there.
I talked to her last night. She said, I didn't know anything about it. I said, well, I think you were invited, Tracy.
I've got her email confirmation.
You do? Send it to me.
Okay. Yeah, she said, I will for sure be there.
All right, after 13, next meeting is on June 16th, 2016. So put that on your calendar. June 16th, 2016 will be the next meeting. Okay, I need somebody to get us into closed session, go out of regular session into closed session.
Move out of regular session into closed session.
Sorry. Interject. What we were talking about the meeting, we might want to just take into consideration that meeting because I believe that there's some other things that might be in conflict on that day potentially, the 14th and the 16th.
Oh, sure.
So anyways, I just wanted to bring that up.
Oh, if we're involved in that other...
Right.
Is that...
Oh, have we got a day, yeah? That's
well,
right.
14th or 16th. Yeah.
One or the other.
14th or 16th, that's right.
Through or just one or the other?
We haven't heard, I mean, and...
We
haven't heard back from a couple other parties. So
that's right.
I mean, the amount of parties that are involved, this is what Sean was worried about initially, was how are we going to be able to get everyone together? And that's proven to be the case so far. So get into July, and I don't know if anybody will be able to meet in July.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring that up as far as if that's our next meeting, if we... So go ahead and plan on having that as our meeting or what?
Then change it if we have to down the road, maybe. Okay.
I haven't heard confirmation either way.
Okay, I got one motion that we go into closed session. I need a second.
Right.
Second by Brent. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Roll call.
Roll call, right on. Paul?
Aye. Aye.
Spencer?
Aye.
And aye.
Thanks, okay. Guys.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Is he with you?
No. He's with an environmental firm.
This is when we talk about you, Doug.
WCA.
I'll give you a call sometime if that's all right.
Yeah,
I meant to touch base with you or try calling you, but I think your voice.